Hello and welcome to our Empowered Parents call. This call is one of a series of calls that is being hosted by the Full Spectrum Healing team. And our goal with these calls is to share tips and information, advice, and perspective amongst the busy parents who are building their Young Living businesses. So in each call, we're going to interview parents who are building their businesses while they're also caring for and nurturing their families. They're going to share with us how they figured out how to balance home life and business life. And each call in the series is going to have a different topic. Tonight, our call is going to cover the topic, getting started and making money fast. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be your moderator tonight. My name is Christy Collins. I have been with Young Living for a while, but I just started intentionally building my business a few months ago. And I have two boys, aged 4 and 6, who I homeschool. And I'm joined on this call by several lovely ladies, our empowered parents, and I'm going to ask each of them to introduce themselves. So, ladies, I'm going to ask you to each share your name, how long you've been with Young Living, and let's share also how old your children were when you first started building your Young Living business. So, Annie, do you want to start us off?
Sure, I'll start. My name is Annie Schiffman. I've been with Young Living for 3.5 years. And I, when I started with Young Living, I did not have any children. I now have a 2.5-year-old, and I have another baby that is due at the end of May.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
Great. Chelsea, do you want to introduce yourself next?
Sure. My name is Chelsea Bruno, and I started using Young Living products 2 years ago, and I started doing it as a business 1.5 years ago. I have 3 boys. Right now they're 5, 7, and 8. So when I started, I had a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 6-year-old.
So you're very busy as well.
Yes.
Wonderful. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And Jahan, why don't you introduce yourself next?
Sure. I'm Jahan Thomas of Triharmony Success Training. And I've been with Young Living since around 2005, 2006. I have 3 kids. They're 12, almost 5, so 12, 4, and 2. And I only had my daughter when I had started, and she was, I'm going to have to think about it. She was about 5 or 6 years old when I had first started with Young Living, and I'm a full-time working mom and has still made it work.
Fabulous. We're glad you're with us tonight. And
thank
last
you.
But not least, Suzanne.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Vanover. I have been with Young Living, it will be 5 years in March, and when I started, my oldest was 13, and my twins were just 9 years old.
All right.
But I only have been building the business for 4 years.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of very experienced parents, moms on the call tonight. So I am going to pick your brains a little bit here. We're talking about getting started, making money fast. So I want to invite you just to put yourself back, kind of back in the perspective of when you first started your business and what it was like at the very, very beginning where you were just getting rolling. And see if you can kind of sit back and talk from a little bit from that perspective and also from the mindset of where you are now, looking back with all the knowledge and experience you have. And what I think is that when people are just starting to build their Young Living business, I think it would be very inspiring for them to hear how your businesses grew from the very beginning. So what I like to do, Annie, I was wondering if you could start us off and just tell us a little bit about when you first started, how many hours were you putting into your business each week in those first, in those first few months when you started?
Okay, well, in the first few months that I started, I really didn't keep any records or anything of that kind of stuff. And because I didn't have any children, I didn't really have that kind of a specific schedule that I was really working around. I would say probably on average maybe, 4 to 5 hours a week. It was just sort of like just a side thing that I was doing. So I'm a freelancer, so I usually have a bunch of different gigs going at once. And so this was just another kind of gig that I would do when I had time. And consequently, I didn't really have much of a system. So I wasn't really as successful as I thought I was going to be during that time because I was just sort of flailing. The hours that I spent weren't very targeted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how about now, these days? How many hours would you say you spend on Young Living this, during each week now?
I spend about 10 to 15 hours a week, usually an hour during my little girl's nap time, and then 2 hours between like 8 and 10 at night after she goes to bed. So it's usually about 3 hours a day and, you know, somewhere around 5 days, but, you know, sort of give or take. But I would say that's the basic average of how much time I spend.
Okay, great. I know people are dying to know what systems you're probably now using, and we'll get into those in other calls, but just a little teaser for folks. Do you mind, Annie, sharing a little bit about, you know, however you're comfortable, kind of the trajectory of your business, maybe even if you're comfortable talking about, you know, what was your income per month, you know, when you were just doing it as a side, kind of a side thing, 4 to 5 hours a week, versus having it be more, you know, a much bigger thing for you, either income or kind of how your rank has changed, anything that you feel comfortable sharing in terms of that progression?
Yeah, I mean, I think more what it was is when I first got started, I really just wasn't making money at all. You know, I wasn't turning a profit. I would sort of, you know, I would enroll one person here, one person there, but it wasn't really anything that would kind of, you know, make me sort of pay for my products or pay for the amount that I was investing. And I felt like I was sort of throwing money at the business, just, you know, buying a ton of brochures and buying this or buying that. And I wasn't really sure exactly how to use any of those things that I had. I knew I had the passion and I had the drive, but I just couldn't sort of put it all into channel it properly. Mm-hmm. Now, my even like in the past 6 months or so, I was really re-energized after convention this past June. And so in that time, my check from the year prior has doubled. And I've advanced in rank from that, which means my overall group volume has grown and things like that. So, and now I feel so much more like I'm on a path, a trajectory, more than I had been before, where it was sort of a pickup game.
Mm. So it sounds like you're getting to be a lot more intentional and you're putting those systems in place, which are really helping you accelerate a lot. You know, one of the things that we wanted everybody to talk about on this call was, and I'm just going to kind of keep going with you because I think it's a natural flow, is, you know, when you, in those months when you, and perhaps you can talk about in the past and also now, in those months when you have had the most success, you've enrolled the most distributors, you've made the most money, what would you say are the top, let's say, 2 or 3 things that you have focused on when you have
success? Oh, yeah. The first thing is talking to people, and I really mean talking to people. In times when I've done events and I've spoken to people, not sending out a lot of emails, because emails, for me anyway, I feel like they get lost. They don't always get returned. They don't get returned promptly. But I feel like when I'm speaking to somebody face-to-face or when I'm speaking to someone on the phone, it is much more successful use of my time. So anytime that I've gotten in front of a lot of people through like an event or multiple events or something like that, then I could talk to a lot of people, get my story down. I remember Jahan really counseled me a lot on that last year. I was trying to decide whether or not I would do this big health fair and it would require me to get babysitters. It was going to be like a big deal. And Jahan was so passionate about it. And she said, yeah, I mean, you've got to do it. You'll get your story down. You'll learn how to talk to people. So for me, when I've spoken to people the most, when I've done the most literal FaceTime with people has been definitely when I've had the biggest checks. And also for me, it's been events. So going to an event, so either attending an event or being at an event, leading an event. The more events that I'm a part of, the more my checks go up. So anything from a home party to a webinar that I lead to to something like a health fair or whatever. When I do things like that and I'm more active, then my checks definitely increase.
Fabulous. That's great. And what would you say, kind of on the flip side, what would you say has been the biggest mistake or, you know, kind of something you wish you'd done differently when you were first starting up your business? If you could go back in time, what would you do differently?
Well, that would be a long list, I think. But
let's start with your top one for now.
But my top one, I think, would be giving people the website and my member number and thinking they were going to do something with that.
Mm.
It's just not the same as ordering from another website. Most of the time when people do that, in the event that they do order, which I find is rare, I don't know about you other ladies, I find it's rare that they may place their order, but they may not necessarily know what to purchase that is in their best interest as far as becoming a wholesale member, as far as which Start Living kit to get, things like that. So then you wind up having to undo a lot of that stuff with customer service later on, and just sort of wasting everyone's time and then not building the trust that you want to be building with that new person. So anytime, that I gave someone the website and just said, here's my member number, either A, it didn't happen, or B, it didn't happen the way that was going to be the best for them.
Mm. So say there's somebody out here listening to this call who has been doing just that. They've just been giving out their sponsor number, giving out their website, and then waiting and wondering why nothing's happening. Can you, in a very quick snapshot, give the flip side of that, what you do now and what you found to be really successful?
Yes, I will say to people, I will give them the website, and I might give them my Marketing Sense website, and I'm sure that we'll talk about that at some point. But I'll give them the website that has the information about the products and the business or whatever, and I'll say, you know what, we should talk about this after you take a look at it. So when do you think that you could see the website? And maybe they'll say, I think I could see it on Tuesday. And I'll say, great, so if I call you on Wednesday, you'll have seen it for sure? And they say, yes. And I say, okay, great, then I'll call you on Wednesday. What's a good time to call? They'll say 11, and I'll say, great, 11 o'clock, that sounds good. So I'll call you at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. Great, cool. What's the best number to reach you at? I get that from them, and then I call them at 11 o'clock on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm able to actually talk to them about it, get their point of view, figure out why they're interested in ordering these products or starting a business, and going forward from there.
Fabulous. Great. Thank you so much, Annie.
Sure.
Great stuff. I'm sure we'll be back to you, but I want to kind of go through those similar questions too with Chelsea. Are you ready to take a crack at them?
Hi.
Great. Why don't we start, talk to us about, with three boys, let's hear about how did it work at the beginning when you first started in those first few months? How many hours were you putting into your business versus how many hours you're working on your business these days?
Sure. My story is actually a little bit similar to Annie's about how much time I spent on the business. But when I had started, I actually started with Young Living because I was very sick. So when the first 6 months that I was with Young Living, it was more getting myself healthy, getting myself back on track. So I never thought about it, about the business aspect, until people were actually approaching me saying, why are you better? What are you doing? So that's kind of how I started, just telling people and opening up about the oils. And I'll never forget, like, my first check, I signed up probably 3 or 4 people, and I was like, oh, you can make money doing this? I got to really, learn more about it. And lucky for me, I had Jahan, who's also on the call, assist me at the beginning. But I would say when I first started, same thing like Annie, no more than 5 hours a week. It was more like a hobby. If someone asked me, I would give them information. Or just when I was out and about, I would talk about it. But nothing was really scheduled or focused at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So it was a little more reactive. You were reacting to people's interests, but you weren't proactively going out there and building.
Exactly.
Okay.
Maybe I hosted like one class a month, if that, at the beginning. One class, maybe two tops.
Mm-hmm. And what does it look like now? How many hours are you spending per week, and what are the main activities that you're focusing on now?
Sure. So now I'm definitely doing, I'd say, at least 15 hours a week. Two of my kids are in school full-time, and my other son goes 4 hours a day. So whenever he's in school, I'm pretty much doing the business. And then at nighttime, like Annie, I'll do whatever else I need to do. I'm focusing more now on my team. I've actually been able to build, you have other business people within my own group, so I support them, those leaders, and I'll go to classes with them. I'll do webinars. I'm big with social networking, whether it's Facebook, Twitter. So I'm spending much more focused now.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what about, you know, you talked about being really excited about that first check that came in.
Yes.
Give us a sense of how that check has grown. Like, what is the change in that check now that you're getting versus back in the beginning?
Sure. So back from the beginning, it's more than tripled now. And I've only been doing it as a business for a year and a half.
Awesome.
So
it's pretty exciting, right?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
And I'm sure your team is inspired knowing that they can, you know, they have a real-life example to follow.
Absolutely. And a big thing for me is that I have my sister with me. So we're both, you know, on a mission together to do it together. So it's nice to always have that solid person. Plus, I have a couple other team members as well. But it's just nice to have your family with you and do it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, constant companions and partners. That's great. Well, when you look back over, you know, the last year or so, what would you say, when you've had your most successful months, what were the top two or three specific activities that you were focusing on?
I would say I was focusing more on even presenting the business to people, which I wasn't doing before. I was more into helping them with their health, and I really wasn't presenting the business. So that was big. Once I started talking about the business, they actually showed an interest right away, and I was surprised because sometimes it's hard to talk about a business because people think you're just selling them something, or I've already done Tupperware, I've already done Arbonne. Like, they don't really understand the big differences with Young Living. So that was key. And then just like Annie said, just talking to people more, following up. So once they place their order, you have to follow up, and not just once. I mean, now I made a whole spreadsheet, and I make sure, like, I follow up at least three times with them, spread it out once a week or once every 2 weeks to make sure that they don't have any questions, or make sure they're also just using the oils or using the products they received. Because some people don't even ever open it.
Yes. And when you were talking about busy parents, you know, who don't, we're trying to squeeze things in between, you know, school and childcare and nights and weekends and when you talk about following up, and as you think about, you know, everybody's always thinking about when my organization gets bigger and I'm following up, are you doing that by phone? Are you doing that by email, combination of the two?
I would say a combination of the two, but I feel like some people need the phone call to really answer their questions. It's more personal. You build a better rapport with them if you're on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even call, like I'll call like on my way to pick up my son or to drop him off. I mean, it doesn't have to be a half-hour conversation, just so they know that you're thinking of them. Do they have any questions?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do. I do those quick calls and say, we might only have 5 minutes before, you know.
Yeah.
The kids in the back start making themselves heard, but let's make the most of our couple minutes. So, and people understand. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why my webinars normally are at like 8:30 at night too. Like, I know for sure everyone's in bed, then I could just focus and teach my classes that way.
Great. And, well, you know, lastly, what would you say, looking back, is there anything that you wish you had done differently, things that you wish you could wave a magic wand and go back and, you know, kind of take a different tack on this time around?
Sure. It's somewhat related to what Annie had said. I think one of my biggest things at first was me just giving out my information or giving them a business card and not getting their information back. So then you were kind of stuck, like, hoping they were going to check out your website or hoping they were going to call. So I think it's so important that if you are going to exchange information, to make sure you get their information as well.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up. You have to follow up. That was another big thing that if you don't follow up, I saw that within my first year, a lot of people ended up dropping off my list because they didn't order within the year. So I think that looking back now, if I would have followed up and kept a tighter relationship with them, you know, maybe they would have continued on with the company.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great advice. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you.
All right, Jahan, you ready to have a go?
I have to say, if you just take all their answers, that's pretty much my answer. So, it's amazing how we all kind of go through a similar journey.
Ah, Yeah, tell us about your journey. Tell us about the beginning, and you know, hours and you were spending, and now tell us, because I know that you've got a lot of other things going on, as we all do. So talk to us a little bit about how you are fitting things in.
Well, when I first started, it did feel like I was putting a lot more work in, and it was kind of just, you know, putting things out there and hoping they fell in the right places. You really, it was just very haphazard. There was nothing systemized about it. You know, you just don't know what to do at that point. And even that being said, my first check was $532. I've never made less. So of course, anyone look at that and say, okay, we did pretty well. I mean, I reached leadership levels very quickly. I was an executive within a couple months. I was a silver in just over a year. So I did all that fairly quickly, but it still felt like I was doing so much, and I didn't quite grasp the whole idea of the network doing it. So I think that kind of rolls into the next thing of, like, mistakes that you made. I think that's part of it. Like, my follow-up wasn't great. I didn't know how to train anyone really well. I'd almost avoid phone calls because of it, and it just took up so much time that I actually didn't really enjoy it. You know, I got to a point where my group grew so much that I couldn't keep up with it, and then it ended up plateauing, and I realized I needed to overhaul everything of how I was doing it.
Mm-hmm. And so let's take advantage of that, you know, the hindsight then. What, you know, so say you've got someone who's like you at the beginning. They're working hard. They're doing a lot of good things that are good. They are building, but it feels sporadic. It feels chaotic. It feels just overwhelming, like you don't have a handle on it, really. And I am a systems girl, so I'm really excited to hear about all the systems. So tell me, if you now look at, if you were to look back and say, you know, here's what I could have done differently in the beginning to really, like, the top two or three tasks you could have focused on to make things feel much more manageable and have them grow in a way that just felt, that felt much more systematic.
Well, it's like what I do now. It's you know, everybody gets in my schedule. I don't just, you know, I think it was Annie that was kind of saying that too. It's like you just said, I love how what she was saying in terms of getting somebody, like nailing them down in your schedule and the time, because I do that same thing. And then I have a specific, obviously I have a training program, a systemized training program, and that's exactly what I follow then. It's just, you know, plugging them in, and I know I'm done. I know what to do every time I speak with someone. So while someone might spend, you know, I met someone recently who was told me she was spending 80 hours a week in her business and really working hard at it and wasn't really getting that far. And when I looked in my calendar, because everything is so scheduled for me, when I looked in my calendar, I only spent like 2 to 3 hours a week. You know, I'm real efficient in what I'm doing. So I wish that I had done that, known that. But again, everything's a learning curve. I wish I had known that in the beginning, because I think of all the people, like Chell said, like everyone that I had lost in the beginning who was very interested in developing a network as well, and there was just no training available. I just didn't know what to do with them.
Mm, yeah. And so if you could tell us, well, let's take a specific example. Let's say that you have somebody, you know, you've had somebody who signed up, they've enrolled for a while, and they, you know, they're buying here or there. You haven't yet had a conversation with them about, and this might not be you, but let's say somebody else. They haven't had a conversation yet with them about the business side of things. What would be the best way to approach them around that?
Well, I'm very much into flat out asking people. And of course, if somebody's enrolled with me specifically, they hear about it right from the beginning, because we always let them know that this, you know, they have the option. If they're a wholesale member, they have the option to refer to the company for compensation if they chose to. So let's say in the beginning they chose not to, and then they came back to me a while later and say, okay, now I'm choosing to. Well, then I have a very specific training that I put them through for that, so they understand how it works. And then if they say, okay, I'm definitely interested, I want to do that, then they get our training program and they just follow along the training program. So, again, I've learned how to plug people in to each part of my business so that it's I'm more resourced, kind of like what we do with the product. Instead of us answering, here's another big mistake I made in the beginning. I felt like I needed to find all the answers for everybody. And then one day I realized that I don't need to be everyone's doctor. There are resources for that. And if I'm going to empower people and not enable them, I'm going to show them where the resources are. And that's what I started doing too. And that took a huge load off me, just doing that.
Yes. And then you're modeling that for everyone on your team. So someone
exactly.
They have to be someone's doctor. It's taking that responsibility off their shoulders, which is huge. It makes it much more doable for people who are coming on board.
Absolutely. And I'd say that's probably one of the biggest traps in something like Young Living. And it's because people care so much, but it's just not the direction to go, especially if you're legally, number one. And number two, if you're going to develop a network, that's just not the direction to go, in my opinion.
Yes.
Well, there was
great.
One thing that Brenda Schuler, who is a crown diamond in Young Living, had said, was that you have to look at what you're doing. Are you creating dependent distributors or independent distributors?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might take you a few more minutes to teach someone how to find the answer, but once you do, they're on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you more time in your day.
Yeah.
I definitely invest in my members now in a whole different way than I did before. I thought investing in And like what I think what Annie was saying in the beginning, like you buy brochures and you give them this and get, you know, and I used to consider that investing in my members. I'd get a hotel and have hotel meetings. Now when I think back to that, that's like so ridiculous. That's not what builds a network. I invest my time in teaching them how to do the same thing I'm doing and where to find the resources.
Well, we're going to talk in upcoming calls about, you know, a couple of things that you've talked about, you know, the follow-up, the systems, the, you know, how do you train people? And also, something that's really important to me is how do you find, you know, how do all you ladies find the time to do it? Because when we're talking about just, you know, a few hours a week in between kids and families and all that, it can get a little tricky. So I'm looking forward to upcoming calls to talk about all of that. Thank you very much, Jahan. I appreciate all of your insight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Suzanne, last but not least, we'd love to hear a little bit about you and your start, you know, kind of how your business grew hour-wise and income-wise from the beginning versus now.
Well, in the beginning, I think I could agree with everyone. You know, I put a couple hours a week into it to see what would happen. And, you know, I followed my passion with it and would share with people. I can't say it was very effectively because I didn't really have the language to share with people. I was spinning my wheels, spending so much time trying to explain what oils were and what they did. So in the beginning, I think the time I spent was not as effective as it is today. But now that Young Living's become a lifestyle, I think it's pretty hard to quantify the number of hours that you put into the business because you're constantly sharing with people wherever you go, whatever you do. Boy, you smell good, and then that leads to a conversation. And so. That's a little bit difficult to quantify, but I'd have to say, if I broke it down, today I'm probably spending about 15 to 20 hours a week on Young Living because my kids are older. I'm kind of at the other end of the spectrum. My oldest is now in college, and my twins are in high school and involved in sports, so they leave, you know, before 7 o'clock in the morning, and I sometimes don't see them until 6 or 7 at night. So I'm kind of at the other end, and you know, if that gives anybody hope, you know, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and you can put more time into it, because I think what you put into it, you get out of it.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's kind of where I am time-wise today. But I do spend a lot of time now that I have built my business and advanced in ranks. You know, now I'm spending a lot of time with my business builders and helping them establish their businesses. So the whole business has kind of shifted a little bit. But
mm-hmm.
I also spend a lot of time on Facebook because it's an easy way to connect with people in between writing workshops and, meeting with people. It's just an easy jump on there for 10 minutes, answer any questions, and then jump off.
Mm. It's so interesting. You're all talking about just all these different ways to connect with people and having this combination of the face-to-face, the phone time, and then also utilizing the technology for when we can't always be in front of people.
Mm.
Suzanne, you talked a little bit at the beginning about spinning your wheels a bit, not doing things as effectively as you might go back and do them. Can you tell us a little bit about what you would have done differently at the beginning? Kind of not when you're in the working with the business owners, but when it was just you were just starting building your team.
Mm-hmm.
What would you
mm-hmm.
have done differently if you could go back in time?
Well, I guess my answer is a little bit different than all the other ladies. For me, I had prayed for something that would help me pay for my son's college, because all of a sudden he was a freshman and college was right there, right around the corner, and Young Living found me. So, for some reason, I didn't recognize that as what I had been praying for. I felt like these oils were truly gifts to us, and how could I sell them? How could I take money for connecting people with the oils? So in the beginning, I was buying for people at my price and just giving them my price. I wasn't charging them for shipping. I was just doing it all wrong. And that wasn't what I was taught, but it was something that I had to get over the money side of things. And that was just my personal journey. And once I got my first check, once I, my husband said, "Sue, what is all over our dining room table? What are these lunch bags filled with oil? What are you doing? Are you in sales?" And I thought, "Oh, I don't want to be in sales.
Yeah,
that doesn't feel right." So I started sharing, and I got that first check. And all of a sudden, it was real. Like, wow, this is a business.
Mm-hmm.
This could be so much more. So that's how I shifted things. I got over whatever money issues I was thinking about and, took the right road, I guess. And I went to convention. And when I went to convention, a month after I got back, my team had doubled, because I just got the fire within me. So, it all kind of fell into place at that point, I guess.
Now, I think what you're saying is so important, because I think a lot of people, they start sharing the oils with people, and any of the Young Living products are so caring, and a lot of them are healers and want to help people. And I have heard this a lot, where it's tricky to think about it as a business, to shift from I'm sharing oils, I'm helping people, to now I'm in a business. What besides your son's looming college tuitions, what was there a moment that you had, or was there something that happened that maybe you realized that that was something that could be embraced instead of something that you had
because I sat down with this woman, just she and I, before I had never really sat down with anybody. And I sat down with her and I said, I went through what Young Living could do and how she could enroll. And it was so easy. I had no idea it was going to be that easy. She says, "Okay." And I said, "Well, how would you like to start?" And I didn't even have the language really, to make it easy. So I was fumbling all over the place. And she said, "Well, I think I'd like that kit." And before I knew it, she was enrolled. And I thought, well, that was easy. It's like that Staples button. That was easy. And once I did it once, that's all it took. I have to say, it took a little courage.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to just say, I'll get that. I'll put that lavender on my order for you. But when I actually embraced the role of empowering someone else to take charge of their health, it all shifted for me.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's so powerful. I'm finding for me it's a very big self-growth path because I'm an introvert. And so for me, I had a very successful business in the past that was email-based and newsletter-based and teleclass-based. But picking up the phone, it's been such a growth period for me, just picking up the phone and calling someone that I've never spoken to before. It's like, whoa, that's so huge. And it's really fun to see how this not only is a business and an income and a health opportunity, but it's also such an opportunity to push us past our comfort zones and really, just connecting with people. Also, as moms who are, you know, you're home with children a lot of the time, or you're juggling children in a job, and it's so nice to just connect with someone either over the phone or face to face. It's very rare, I think, in this culture even now to have that connection. And all of you have talked about that, picking up the phone, meeting with people, going to events, you know, face-to-face, ear-to-ear over the phone. And I think that's really helpful for people to hear at the beginning, that it can be that simple as just connecting with people. And we'll get into some of the – oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and it, you know, this is a network marketing company, but I look at it more as a personal marketing company. Because it really is that personal touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Suzanne's right. And I think also for me what you're saying about the comfort zone is really important, and to know that you don't necessarily, it doesn't mean now that you need to spend 15 hours a week on the phone with people if you're an introvert. But it's just, and sometimes for me what's been helpful is just saying, okay, I'm going to talk to 10 people this week. Now, I'm an extrovert. I mean, I could talk to anybody about anything forever. But for me, in times, it was like, oh, God, but how am I going to talk to strangers or whatever? Anything that felt a little out of my comfort zone, I would give myself a goal or a number. And then when I would hit it, then I could relax. And I knew that I would be okay, that, like, all right, I pushed myself a little bit then, but it would be over after, you know, a certain point, and then I could handle that.
And you were still alive, and the world was still spinning.
Totally, exactly.
It felt good. Yeah, it felt good.
And I would agree with all of you. I think that's such a great point. And just like how much growth we go through just learning the business in general, but certainly learning networking, building relationships, and how to be effective in those relationships, how to be authentic in those relationships and not just talk to people with an agenda of hoping they're going to buy something or want to build a business. I mean, I think when you really care and then also want to empower, then it really shifts the energy, especially if you could get that across to the person you're speaking with. Just really let go of your own stuff that may be getting in the way and really just be there for that other person.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Heart-centered sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank all of you ladies for being on the call. We are all trying to be mindful of the time, too, because we're recording these calls for busy business builders and busy parents. So I hate to cut us off right now, but I want to be mindful of the time. I want to just, before we end, I want to really appreciate all of you for your very candid responses, your inspirational advice, and everything that just came from your hearts. And I know that everybody who listens to this recording is going to get a lot of helpful information to, you know, to really inspire them and also take their businesses to the next level, whatever that is for them. So if you were listening to this call and you have any questions about the call series or who was on the call or anything about what we presented, please feel free to contact Full Spectrum Healing at magnifypurpose@mac.com. That's magnifypurpose @mac.com. So I really look forward to our next call. And again, thank you, ladies. And until we speak again, I hope everyone has a great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.